Okay, thank you. The portion that I've been given is from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, doing greater things. And I was just absolutely thrilled with Alan's testimony this morning. Absolutely thrilled about that. Because you see, he's doing greater things. Who'd have thought that Alan, via an app on a phone, could be in contact with somebody, say, in New Zealand, right, this morning? Isn't that great? I'm absolutely chuffed about it. I think it's marvellous. I don't understand how it all works. But hey, I don't have to, do I? Sometimes I don't understand how the Word of God works. Well, I just have to trust it. And when Alan speaks into that mic, he's trusting that somebody, an app on the other side of the world, or round Cannock Chase, or wherever, will pick up what he's saying. Absolutely marvellous. Oh, I got carried away with that. Sorry. I've got to get back to what I'm supposed to be speaking about. But you'll see that theme spreading throughout while I'm talking this morning. Right? About doing greater things. Aha. I've only got three verses, but they're great verses. So, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Message Bible puts it like this. The person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I will do it. Okay, we're just going to concentrate. I'll split it into two parts. We're going to concentrate first of all on verse 12, and then we'll have a look at the other two verses. Jesus starts and he says, sit up, pay attention. That's very basically truly true. Time to stop nodding off, right? It's time to sit up and pay attention. I've got something important I want to say to you. I've got something important I want to say to you. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. This term works is both in the single work and the plural works, is broader than signs. Right? Signs, where the Bible talks about signs, it's in miracles, right? But works, it identifies with miracles, yes. But it also identifies with his teachings, his ministry, and his way of life. So it's a lot broader thing than just, oh, you'll see miracles. It's much broader than, oh, you'll teach people. It encompasses the whole way of life that Jesus brings to us. His teachings, his ministry. What he's saying is, as he manifested the Father's work in himself, so we will manifest the Father's work. It starts from a belief in Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. So you ask, how can we do greater things? I mean, if you think what Jesus did, right, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. How could Jesus say to me, you will do greater things? I'm going to a funeral this coming Wednesday. Yeah, I wish I had sort of faith to go and put my hand and say, George, come forth. Because I miss him. But he says, do greater things than these. And we know that in some places the dead have been raised. The sick have been healed. We've seen it happen in this very room. Testimony of people given. So what does he mean by greater works? He means that these greater works will be accomplished because he said, because I am going to the Father. Why did he go to the Father? So that he could send the Holy Spirit. so that he could send the Holy Spirit. It means these greater works were made possible by the sending of the Holy Spirit. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, what did the early church do? What were these greater things they did? Well, they certainly did miracles, didn't they? They certainly made people well. They raised the dead. But I thought about it, and I thought, well, the first gathering of people after Jesus' death was how many people? Acts chapter 1, upper room. How many were there? 120. I thought, well, Jesus worked for 3 years, and all he could gather was 120 people. I'm not saying there weren't others in other places. I'm not saying there weren't problems. But sometimes we lose sight of just how small the nucleus was that God started with. It was 120 people. Jesus worked for 3 years to produce 120 people in an upper room. Then the Holy Spirit came. And how many people were added to those 120 in one day? 3,000! Right, now that makes, if we've got 50 here, by tonight we should manage about 2,000. Blows your mind, doesn't it? Blows your mind. Just what God did. And get the enormity of this. In about 40 years after his death, right, I should think there were millions of Christians throughout the Roman Empire. Jesus could not have reached that many in the time. Greater things. Don't get me wrong, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Something good in heaven. Oh, it's angels, isn't it? Sorry about that. Yeah, I believe in miracles. But sometimes we've got to get God's bigger picture. Jesus came, yes, he came to give miracles, to heal the sick and everything else, but he came to save the lost. That was his primary purpose. When Jesus said greater things, he saw Alan's speaking on an app to somebody in New Zealand. And when he said greater things, that's what he saw. A greater thing. Jesus could never have spoken to somebody, well, I suppose the Maoris were there in New Zealand, you know, 2,000 years ago. But you're with me. Sometimes we lose the awe of what God is doing in people's lives. We get bogged down by this fact that the media is telling us that the church is dying in the Western civilization. Alan's telling them we're alive and well and kicking. All they look is the buildings that are crumbling. They don't look at the people that are living and alive. How did the early church do it? How did they do greater things? First of all, they were preaching and teaching. They had seen Jesus do it in the mountains, with great crowds, in the synagogues, in the homes. They did it with power through the Holy Spirit, and they provided for people in need. Who are we looking for? Who are we looking for to do greater things with? When I was thinking about this, my mind went back to King David in the Bible. And we read that he ran away from King Saul and went to a cave, the cave of Adullam. And various people came to him. We read that it was 400. And out of those, David built an army that conquered the whole of that area. So we read later on, they were classed as his mighty warriors. Who were they? We read that they were people who were in distress. Those who were in debt and those who were discontent. If I was building a mighty army of God's people, I don't know whether I'd look for those sort of people. But it's the people that God calls us to. They're the people that will listen. They're the people that are desperate for God in their lives. They're the people we should be seeking. They are those in distress, those in debt, than those who are discontent. Can I suggest that we look for those people to build God's kingdom? You see, each one of us, filled with God's Holy Spirit, is able to do greater things. When we share the love of God, when we share what Jesus is doing in our lives, right, we're doing greater things. Because the miracle of a person receiving Jesus, of salvation, is great. Don't let anybody put that down. You and I, by our willpower, by our own speech, by everything else, cannot transform one life. God, by His Holy Spirit, can. And each one of us is a testimony to that. Each one of us can say, my life has been transformed by God's Holy Spirit. And I want us to catch that. I want us to catch the fact that Rouge Lee is waiting for us to speak so that people will be transformed. They're waiting for us to show them the love of Jesus. Those in distress, those in debt, those who are discontent are waiting for that word. And whether they hear it on an app at 9 o'clock in the morning or hear it by a chat from you at 10 o'clock at night, it's what they're waiting for. What we have to do is to seek and find those who are waiting for it. Okay, let's have a look at the second part of this now. And I want to say first of all that this second part, these verses, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. These verses do not mean that I can get anything if I want to stick in the name of Jesus after the end of the prayer. Otherwise I'd be turning up in my Lamborghini. What does Jesus mean to ask in His name? Praying in Jesus' name means praying in a way consistent with His character and His will. You see, the name of a person in the ancient world represented what the person was like. My name's Michael. I'm supposed to be like an angel. There are times when my wife tells you that I am not like an angel at all. We've each got a name, haven't we? And the name of Jesus means that He comes with the authority of the Father. He comes with the authority of the Father. When we ask Him in accordance with His character and His will, then He will answer. So you ask the question, well, do I know His character and His will? Am I that sure about it? How do you get to know somebody? Well, I know most of you here. You think you know me, but you only know me a bit. You only know me in part. There's one person here that knows me better than most. Now, she's smiling now. How do you think she knows me better than most? Sorry. Spent a lot of time. She's lived with me. She's lived with me for 50 years. Don't you think she deserves a medal? But you see, she's lived with that, and now she knows me. You want to know Jesus, you have to live with Him. When I was at work, I occasionally had to go abroad, and I was away. And my wife said that she missed me. I don't know whether she missed my getting in the way, or just I wasn't there. But guess what? Your Father misses you when you go away from Him. Your Father misses you when you spend time away from Him. You want to get to know Him, you've got to spend time with His Word. Time talking with Him. Time living with the Father. How can you expect to pray in the name of Jesus if you don't know Jesus? If you don't know the Father? If you don't know the thought process is the way. After living with Pam for 50 years, she's got to know my foibles. I've got to know hers. Right? And we accommodate one another. We live with one another. And, you know, when you get to know the Father, He'll accommodate you. He knows your foibles. He knows what you're about. And when you get to know Him, then you will pray in line with how He thinks. I try and do the things that I think my wife would appreciate. I sometimes get it wrong, but it doesn't stop me trying. We may get things wrong with God, but that should not stop us. That shouldn't make us throw the towel in. We should carry on. Effective prayer is by spending time with Him. But also spending time with the Word. My mind goes to the, and I love this story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had died and rose again. And the disciples are walking along and they were discussing what had happened, and Jesus came alongside. And we read that he says to them, well, shouldn't these things have happened? And he starts at the beginning of the Bible, the prophets, he says, and explains to them all about himself. You know, I read the Bible and I've got to a genealogy and I think, how on earth do I find Jesus in there? Well, if Jesus could find Jesus in there, then I've just got to keep looking till I find Jesus in there. The whole of the Word of God brings to us Jesus. Why aren't all prayers answered? Hey, I haven't got the answer for that. He knows. Should that stop us praying? No, it should not. Because sometimes we don't see God's bigger picture, do we? Sometimes we're limited by just where we can see and what we can do. Sometimes we're not in line with His will. But hey, let's pray. Let's continue to seek God. Let's find Him. Let's do greater things. You know, I'd love to have a passion for people and a passion for prayer. A passion for people and a passion for prayer. Let's be a church that is a church about passion. A passion for people here in Rugeley or in New Zealand, for a passion for people by praying for them. Let's do greater things. I like that word do. It doesn't say let's think about greater things, or let's talk about greater things, or let's forget about greater things, but let's do greater things, and then we'll see God's kingdom advanced. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank You that as we think about Your Son and what He's done for us and the great things that He's done in our lives, then I ask that You will just work in our lives, work in what we are and what we're doing, so that we might trust You to reach out to people and have a passion for people and a passion for prayer, so that we here in Rugeley might see greater things for You. Amen. I had a thought dropped into my mind this morning. You know, sort of woke up with it and I thought, well, where's that come from? Well, very often when something pops in like that, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we can carry along baggage, can't we? We can carry along things that every time we go to do something, it stops us from doing those things. Gets in the way. We're looking at moving, and one of the things when we started doing that that got in the way was a loft full of stuff. And when I say a loft full of stuff, there was as much in the loft as there was downstairs. Now, some of that stuff we've sold on eBay and Gumtree. Some has gone to the charity shop, and some has gone to the tip. It was rubbish. It was junk. I have a problem that I keep things just in case. I'm not the only one. Now, what the Lord dropped him on about, are we sometimes keeping things just in case and they get in the way of what God wants to do? Are we keeping things as a sort of a backstop in case God doesn't turn up? Is the rubbish in our lives that's getting in the way of what God wants to do? And so, at great expense, I have bought the rubbish bin that sits underneath my computer, and I'm going to put it on here. And so you don't miss out on anything, I bought some bits of paper and a pen. And if you feel that there's some rubbish that you need to get rid of, you can come and either write it down and put the bit of paper in the bin, or you can just take the bit of paper and say, that's my rubbish, and put it in the bin. And the majority of the time, the bits of paper in that bin end up on our fire. And as you put the rubbish in that bin, God's Holy Spirit will burn the fire and get rid of the rubbish. May God bless you all this morning. Be blessed.